Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about what it looks like to build kingdom relationships in your part of the world.
And last time we were together, we talked a little bit about Sarah and Alex and how they were intentionally setting out to build their kingdom home. And we kind of like to pick up on their story as we go into our show today. Brad and Alicia come to Sarah and Alex's home every Friday night. They play cards. They cook out in the summer. They play with Brad and Alicia's 10-month-old Jessica. The baby is comfortable, going to sleep in a pack-and-play crib that Sarah and Alex have set up in their extra bedroom. And after dinner, when the baby's asleep, sometimes they'll sit and talk about their week, read passages from the scriptures, pray for each other. Now, some of their mutual friends will drop by. Bob is a widower from next door. He feels comfortable in Sarah and Alex's home because they've included him over a period of many months. Occasional spur-of-the-moment invitations to lunch or dinner, a helping hand pulling out the overgrown bushes in Bob's backyard. Everyday things where Alex has included Bob have begun to build a trusting relationship. So we're moving kind of through Sarah and Alex's relationship over into a couple that they've met, Brad and Alicia. And now we're starting to talk about Bob, their neighbor. And that's, you know, Bob's your neighbor. That's exactly what a kingdom snapshot looks like, because it's relational. It's relational. It's how we are connected with our neighbors, with our coworkers, and the people around us.
And this is a big commitment. For instance, having friends over and their kids, it's a big commitment. You know, you kind of have to decide ahead of time, okay, we're going to do this. Because, you know, no 10-month-old comes to your house and just goes to sleep. They have to be trained to do that. And it takes every party to, you know, compromise and to make way for that to happen. Because, you know, possibly the first several Friday nights, they didn't get to talk because they were working with a crying baby. But that's what you do together, is work to make that happen and to build that relationship.
Well, and that's what intentionality is all about. It's figuring out what you want out of life from a spiritual perspective. What will honor my king? And then how am I going to be committed to those things and make room for them? So what you were just describing takes intentionality. You know, you have to decide it.
Yes. And then when you do it, what you get are the warm relationships that include talking on a deeper level, as well as belly laughter over the crazy memories from working through all those things.
Yes. And creating memories comes as a result of trying lots of things. You know, it's not like everybody's become our best friend over the years. We've had a lot of good friends on a lot of different levels. And sometimes people are there for a time. And we have friends that have been there all the way through our child rearing experiences. You just never know what a friendship's going to look like. But having different kinds of friendships, kingdom relationships, are really key to having a satisfied mind.
Well, and the other person you mentioned in this story that our friends have told us about, being neighbors with a widower. You know how it is when you hear that about someone, you know that that person has something going on in their heart, and you have a choice to make of, I'm going to go toward that person, or like just hope he doesn't need anything from me.
Right.
But you know, a lot of this starts out with just pulling into the driveway and waving to someone. And then it moves to saying hello or talking about the weather. And pretty soon you invite them over for dinner. Rarely, for you and me anyway, rarely has it started out with just inviting someone for dinner. Because that's really difficult. That means they're at your table and now you're sitting across from them. But then as you move into more than acquaintances, you invite them over just on impulse, you know, then you get pancakes.
Right.
Then you get my house the way it really is.
I love this verse related to what you're just talking about in Titus 3. It's a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently about it, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds, because these things are good and profitable for men.
And what a great promise. These things are good and profitable for everyone. They're good for everyone. I think that's such a cool thing.
Well, and there is a difference in my mind, at least when I search the scriptures, between being a do-gooder, and there are many do-gooders that do it for what they get. But when you do good for the kingdom, you're doing it for what benefits God and what benefits his kingdom. And there's a big difference between the two.
I can also see that it has taken you and me time to figure out what good deeds mean for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes we see friends do something and we maybe try to copy it, and then it just hasn't been who we are. And it's okay. We just had to keep trying. But now we laugh at the stuff that felt crazy to us.
So Sarah and Alex's friends, are moving forward because they're being impacted mm-hmm. by their life and by their relationship. Now, Alex and Brad, who are the two guys in this story, because it's easier to follow when it's actually written down in front of you, they get together for breakfast each week to talk about what Jesus wants from them as spiritual men. They also invite friends from work and the neighborhood whenever it's appropriate, those with whom they're engaging in discussions about being husbands. On Saturday afternoons, Brad and Alicia get a sitter and they go to the coffee shop down the street. They invite friends and neighbors to participate as they talk. They've gotten to know the people who work at the shop and have carved out their little corner to laugh, talk, and experience life with their friends. They are also getting to know each other's families as the years unfold and include one another in birthdays and celebrations with their respective families wherever it's appropriate.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that you mentioned in there has been really good for me. We have a friend who has been really thoughtful. You know, when he has a birthday party for his wife or vice versa, they'll invite neighbors or maybe they'll invite their parents who are from another city. And they also invite us. So they don't just make it a family time or just a friend time. But it's been good to have them say, our neighbor is coming, and then they tell us a little bit about him so that we want to help them welcome these neighbors into their home. We want to help welcome these neighbors into their lives. We just want to infuse it with, you know, the good deeds and the good feel of it all.
Well, I know you guys feel pretty connected to Alex and Sarah and Brad and Alicia.
Now that we've talked. Married to whom?
And don't forget about Bob.
What about Bob?
Bob the neighbor. It's easy to live isolated from our families, neighbors, and coworkers. And the only way that trend is reversed is to be guided by God and then, you know, ask God and when he tells you to act.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this story, and I'm going to complete our story now about our friends, Sarah and Alex and Brad and Alicia, and they are couples, by the way.
Can I interrupt you for just a minute? I want to go back to what you said about isolation. It is easier to be isolated. You know, I don't have to worry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to worry about how I live in front of people, and I don't have to extend myself, and which for me sometimes is awkward and tiring. And I married you, and I didn't have great social skills. I'm not sure I had any skills that needed to be undone, but I really
absolutely not a one. I can't think of one.
Except I had a lot to learn because I was really uncomfortable. I was kind of shy, and I had to learn that shyness was really a lack of social skills and that I had to learn how to do those things. So that's just an encouragement for anybody that feels like I'd just rather be isolated. Sometimes you just have to make yourself not.
I know, we're being so vulnerable. Dave and Bernadette's story is not supposed to come out. We're supposed to be talking about made-up people, Sarah and Alex and Brad and Alicia. Okay, while their story sounds pretty commonplace and unspectacular, it's exactly the kind of life Jesus encourages his followers to pursue. By working together with others like Alex and Sarah, Brad and Alicia, these neighbors are contemplating the world God has set up for them. And they're trying to find the connections that he has appointed through the process of living life. They may end up being longtime friends together, or this may be only for a time in their lives, mm-hmm. but they're grateful to have mutual encouragement in listening to the voice of their king and a practical partnership as they do the work of the harvest. Imagine if each of these couples were a part of another 5 or 10 people coming to know Christ during their lifetimes and taught the same paradigm of kingdom spirituality to those Christ followers as well. Well, like the servant that Jesus praised for being faithful in little things, they would reap a huge harvest at the end of the age, which is exactly what Bernadette and I hope to do.
I think it's interesting when you said in their lifetimes, if they could do this with people in their lifetimes. It's easy for me to not look at my lifetime. I just want to look at what can I get done this month and how often can I share the gospel? And I just don't think that's how it is. I'm just supposed to live it out and God will direct all that.
Absolutely. You know, kingdom spirituality is one of engagement, and that's really what we've been talking about with Brad and Alicia's and Sarah and Alex's story. It's often not flashy or big, and I wanted to say something about that before mm-hmm. we're finished today, because when you live in a culture where it's all about your 15 minutes of fame and, you know, having your own reality show and whatever.
And everything's on TV, so everything is perfect. You don't get to see what anybody had to go through to practice to be good enough to be on The Voice.
Even the imperfections.
Yeah.
Are perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not about being flashy or big, but intentional grateful and connected. And that's what will make you substantive. And that is way more important than being flashy or big.
Flashly.
I like that word.
Connected seems the key word. And I think it can be really tough in our culture of isolating and being pioneers. But because the good part of being a pioneer is that we could really be pioneers together in having the courage to try to connect. When I know my friends are doing it also, it just makes me want to try a little harder.
The kingdom is like a mustard seed, full grown to a plant with shelter providing branches. I love the picture that Jesus taught about in those parables. It happens in ordinary, everyday lives of people like Alex and Sarah, and like yours and mine. And I kind of want to go back to what we talked about at the beginning of the conversation. We live in a challenging environment. So if we're going to live the kind of a snapshot, we're trying to give you a snapshot of a kingdom life. And if you're going to live it out and end your life at the end of your time with a satisfied mind, I think this verse out of the Message in 2 Corinthians is very appropriate. The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. We never have, and we never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or for manipulation, but they're for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools. I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. Our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. Man, we're just surrounded by that. Tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Think about that. And fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. And that's a lot of what we're talking about here, is the shaping influence of Christ in our lives. Our tools are ready at hand. This is the end of the passage in out of the Message in 2 Corinthians 10. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity.
Those are heavy verses.
That's
can
a lot.
I go ahead?
Go ahead. No.
I was going to say, can I go to something lighter? So in all of this, I'm glancing through my notes as you're reading, and I'm realizing there was a story I was going to tell, and it was, I was talking about this really is okay to look at this as a step-by-step thing, that we didn't learn this all at one time. I don't think anyone can. You just try something and you go, that worked great.
Yeah, try
on
there.
Or how can we accommodate someone else, or how do we make that work? But as we were talking about neighbors and sort of living out our lives in front of them and being kind, I can remember having a really horrible day one day, and my kids pushed me over the edge. And probably in reality, I was too close to the edge, and then they just happened to be there, in fairness to them. But I lost it. I yelled at them.
Which you don't do very often.
I am not really a yeller. No, in fact, I would, if anything, I go more to the silent type. But I was yelling at them. Just, I was so furious. I just lost it. And when I got done, there was a knock, knock, knock. Somebody was at my front door, and it was springtime, so it wasn't like the storm. I mean, it was,
screens were
and
open.
I still shudder when I think of that. So when you guys think about living your life out in front of your neighbors, top that one. Because I've got better ones than that, too.
Yeah, she does. Kingdom spirituality is one of engagement. It's often not flashy or big, but it's intentional, grateful, and connected. It's a mustard seed, full grown to a plant with shelter-providing mm-hmm. branches. And it happens in the ordinary day-to-day lives of people like you and like me. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button. Bernadette, thank you so much. I appreciated your insights today like I always do.
And I know you loved the stories.
I did.
Together, we are finding hope at forestream.com.